everyone. This is Joey Railroads from the American Sports Connection on B Plus Player Radio, and I am the host of This Week in Wrestling with my co-host Ryan Ennis. From WWE to local independents to New Japan and UFC, come join us as we offer our insight. The good, bad, and in between in the world of pro wrestling and MMA.
It's a great deal at $10, Pat, but you know what's an even better deal is free, absolutely free, $0. And have I got a deal for you and for the people listening right now where they can get top quality entertainment for free 99. No, not even free 99. I'm slashing the 99. It's free. It's $0, no money down. You like entertainment, Pat?
Absolutely.
I know that you do. I know everyone likes entertainment. That's why they're listening to this show right now. They like to be entertained in their ear holes and in their eye holes and all over and all their, well, in all their different holes. But that's a story for another day. You like audio entertainment. I know you do because you're listening to this show. Head over to audibletrial.com/B+players and get yourself a free trial of audible.com. I know everyone knows what Audible is. I don't have to tell you that audible.com has over 100,000 different audio book titles, including podcasts, stand-up comedy specials, and things that you cannot get anywhere else. I don't even have to tell you that there are books that you should have read in high school that you might want to listen to now, and then you'll say, wow, that was actually pretty good. Maybe I should have read that. Maybe I would have gotten into a better college. Maybe I'd be doing something better with my life right now than listening to a fucking podcast about Horace Hogan. But, you know, it is what it is, guys, and it's never too late to get smarter. So maybe you head on over to audibletrial.com/B+players and get yourself a free trial on us, on me, on Pat, on Dasher, on Dancer, on Donder, on Blitzen, on absolutely every single one of us, because we are bringing the gifts and we're dropping them down your chimney. And the gift we are delivering today is audible.com via audibletrial.com/B+players. And if you believe it, I actually made every single lick of that up right now. So who's the best promo in the business? Mark Adam Haggerty. Back to the show. The following program is brought to you by B Plus Player Radio. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests therein and do not necessarily reflect the views of this network, our affiliates, or our sponsors. For more information, please visit us on Facebook and Twitter at B Plus Radio. And now,
it's showtime, folks!
You're listening to A Genuine Taste of Wrestling with the Genuine Article, Sean Donovan. And now, here's your host, Sean Donovan.
In my opinion, social media is at the point where it is nothing but a virtual soapbox. Mm-hmm. It is a place for people to get on their virtual soapbox. I'm going to post a status update, and they sit there and they blah, 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 blah. They hit post, and God effing forbid, the problem... Oh, God, we're back here off this minute. I got to get comfy. Hold on. The problem is... you got me going. The thing about it is, you know, everybody... To me, I do not discuss anything outside the realm of professional wrestling. What I mean is, I will not discuss politics, I will not discuss religion, but I'm going to say as a blanket statement, I view social media as a place where people log on, they will mouth off and post anything they want to post. You know, wrestling is very, very much included. And God forbid anybody have a differing opinion, because everybody is like, this is my opinion. Here, blah, blah, blah. You have to hear it because I'm entitled to say it. And then the minute somebody comments with a differing opinion, yep. That person is an asshole. And that person doesn't get it. And F off. I'm going to block you because I don't want to hear it. Nobody truly wants to have conversation or dialogue. It's not, social media is nothing but a virtual soapbox where people want to stand there. They are keyboard warriors who want to crow through their keyboard. But if anyone disagrees or anything, that person's automatically an asshole. And then the person who posted the post, all of their buddies jump on that person. Mm-hmm. And it becomes like it's a gang war. Like, for me, one of the issues is, like we were saying, it's a great big thing of yes men. And you mentioned getting on a show. I have never, and this is probably, and I've said this to people in private conversation, this is probably one of the reasons people ask me, I'm not exaggerating, when I say almost every freaking day, I get a message on either Twitter or Facebook or in my email, why aren't you on WWE? Why aren't you on TNA? Why aren't you on Ring of Honor? Why aren't you here? And the truth of the matter is, I am not somebody who has a buddy who works there. I have plenty of buddies who work for every company I just mentioned. I will not say to somebody, hey, nudge, nudge, elbow, elbow, get me booked, hook me up. Get me a book, put it, I won't do that. I seek my work based on my contacts with the company and my work mm-hmm. and my reputation and my professionalism. I don't expect to get booked somewhere because I'm really good buddies with fill in the blank worker. And what happens on the indies a lot of the time is if your buddies with fill in the blank worker, that person, hey, book my, he's going to hop in the car and ride with me. Go ahead and book and put him in a match. This dude may not be able to work at all. But because he's friends with so-and-so, dude has a match. And that's what people have become accustomed to. All I have to do is ask my buddy or piggyback this. It's not about going to help set up. It's not about emailing a professional email. Hello, my name is so-and-so. I've been working for this long. Dude, let me tell you, I've been working, and when I say working, I'm talking about wrestling, in the ring working, not all the years I was managing on the outside. I worked my first match in 2005. I've been working for about 12 and a half years now. To this freaking day, I still send emails and messages to promotions, introducing myself, giving some background info on myself, a link to my YouTube, a link to my website, because I'm seeking work with them, because I'm trying to make that connection. Mm-hmm. I'm not emailing my buddy who lives in wherever, whatever state, hey, bro, put in a good word for me, hook me up, and that's why I'm booked. And that's what the business has become accustomed to.
Yep.
They've become accustomed to, I'm going to share your tweet. I'm going to like your tweet. I'm going to like your Facebook post or share your Facebook post. That's going to get me booked. Yeah. Like, no, dude, that's not who I am. And, I'm not somebody who is going to, I'm not somebody who is going to expect to be booked just because, like I said, there are people who are 2 or 3 years in who are griping about having to drive 3 hours. This MF are expecting me to drive 3 hours for this and that. Are you effing kidding me? I still drive 10 hours one way to work one match, and then I drive the 10 hours back. And I'm alone basically all the time doing that shit. and you're going to complain about being 2 or 3 years in and not getting paid more than $100 and having to drive. Like, the business is so different, and when it comes to getting work and working for it and obtaining it and what goes into it, it's just absolutely nuts to me. Absolutely nuts.
Yeah, I think it's one, you know, one of the things you hit the nail on the head is I'm still doing the same thing. I will still network, and I will still, you know, send my information and my work out to promoters. And again, sending those links, sending a promotional, you know, photo. You know, one of the things I think is a lost art these days is sending a resume, which not many people really do anymore. Not many people really understand how
to
do
it.
Can I
tell you, I've never sent a resume before.
Yeah, that's okay. You know what? That's okay.
I haven't, honestly.
Yeah. It's something I thought differently, but not everyone has done it. Yeah.
No, it comes up. And there have been times when I've been like, Casey, you need to sit down and take the time. At this point, to be really honest with you, at this point in my life, I can't remember, you know. I can't remember everything. And again, God, I know I've said this before, but not to sound, I'm not like tooting my own horn or anything. I'm not going to sit here and list every damn title I've held. You know, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to sit here and list every, like, hello, I'm a belt mark, because I'm not. Like, I'm not going to do that. But but I do. I don't sit here. I'm not kicked back with my feet on my desk thinking, I'm Casey Carlisle. You know, those MFers are going to come to me and my schedule's going to be full. Yeah. I don't do that. And that's why I do the posts, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a cancellation or something, believe me, if I am not working, I feel weird. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yep.
I do not know how to handle that. So when I post the things about I'm open this date, had a cancellation this date, mm-hmm. it's not because, and I'm not saying that you said, it's not a desperation. It's a, guys, this is who I am. This is what I do. Help me be in a ring. Please let me add to your company. But like you were saying, I do feel that there's a right and a wrong way to go about it.
Right.
I don't post, you know, I'm not tweeting about, hey, guys, I'm still open this date. I'm not tweeting that every hour.
Right.
I'm not begging people to share. Like, I think recently I put please share or shares appreciated, I think is what it said. I don't do that often. Because honestly, it's nobody else's responsibility to put that out there but me. If they do it on their own, I'm flattered. Thank you for caring enough to do that. But it's not your responsibility to get my name out there or to fill my calendar. That's on me. So, and I'm not going to put it out there every hour out of desperation. I say it once every couple weeks. Hey, guys, here are my available dates. And I have seen conversations on Facebook about doing that very thing. There are some people who hate it. There are some people who think you're being some type of mark or you're looking desperate if you as a professional wrestler are putting out there, hey, I'm available this date. You know, I've seen the arguments. Well, you should be privately messaging promoters, asking if they're running and stuff. Let me just be honest with you for a minute. Number one, I don't have the time to find every damn promotion. A lot of promotions do not keep up with their own Facebooks or websites. I'll look at a promotion's website, and the most recent event that's listed is from 2014. But the company's still promoting.
Right.
So how am I supposed to know if they're running an event on this particular date, because they haven't even kept their own stuff up to date? Number two, there's no possible way that I can know of every freaking promotion or every promoter in the country. There's just no way. But if I post something like that and somebody does share it, or somebody who happens on my Twitter or my Facebook page happens to see it, maybe then that's a new professional relationship that could be formed. I have no problem with people posting stuff like that. If it's done in a, you know, like you said, there's begging for bookings.
Yeah.
And there's making people aware of your availability.
Right. one of the things that I like to do is I'll put something out that will give like my listing of here's where, you know, and again, it's for anybody who knows of my work or fans that might want to see where I'm working. Hey, here's where I am for this month. And maybe, for example, there might be a day on there that says open.
Right.
You know, that's basically, if you're smart, that's an open invitation that if maybe a promoter or somebody who knows of my work sees it and says, hey, Donovan's not says open on there. Let me recommend him to a show I'm going to be on, and maybe that person will contact him.
Right.
Like I said, there's always a right and a wrong way to present yourself as a professional. And again, it just helps on that more of a respect level. But even there were times when I've said to certain people that I know when they put out those begging booking posts, I might, when I see them, say, hey, dude, you might want to cater your post a little bit better this way, because perception is reality and you don't want to have that negative perception. But going back
right.
to what you said earlier is, you know, the guys these days, it's funny, I hear about the guys that are wrestling for 2 or 3 years and they're grizzled already. They're like, they have
a so bitter.
Yeah, so bitter, but it's just, they're like you said, a lot of guys these days are not willing, and I would venture to say this is probably more than 75% of wrestlers that are aspiring, they don't want to get outside that 1 or 2 hour bubble away from where they normally like to wrestle, which is kind of what
if they leave that bubble, then they become a superstar and they need double their pay plus trim.
Right. I mean, oh, Jesus, I could sit there all day on that one. But for example, it's just like, okay, I can use myself as an example. I've been all around the tri-state East Coast area. And once people have seen you, they've kind of seen you, you need to kind of scale that back a little bit and go put yourself out there in a different area. And if that means you've got to drive 8, 9, 10 hours out of your way, well, if you truly want to make it and be successful, and again, success is defined on many different levels, doesn't have to mean
everyone has their own definition.
Right. I love the fact that I am tapping a new area in the Rhode Island area and no one has seen my work and it's starting to catch on a little bit. It's like, okay, good. Now let me move on to the next area and slowly build in those areas, because now I'm truly getting out there as opposed to wanting to be that big fish in a small bubble or a small pond. You know, you've got to take a chance on yourself. And I don't see that a lot these days. A lot of guys,
and again,
it's, I can understand it. There's a lot of places that have really flourished in terms of schools where they have really great facilities. And speaking with someone the other day, I feel like sometimes the guys coming up now are learning in reverse. So, for example, if there are schools attached to really great promotions and they're packing their houses with 300, 400, 500 people every month, that's an awesome thing, and it's great for those new guys to learn. But at the same token, they all of a sudden think, well, why would I want to drive 3 and 4 hours to go work in front of 75 or 100 people when I can just stay here
and
work?
And I'm over, bro.
Right. Whereas you or I or many others, we kind of came up in those, you had to go work in front of 10, 20, 30 people, because it's a lot harder to get 20 or 30 people invested in you than it is to get 500. And I almost feel like it's such a lost art. But
it doesn't happen anymore.
No, and to me, I take it as a challenge. I just did a show in Philly 2 Sundays ago, and for whatever reason, it probably wasn't promoted properly. There were 40 people in that crowd. But I said to the guy I'm working, I said, you know what? Let's go out there. Let's have fun. And let's get these 40 people invested in what we're trying to achieve. And I find those so much more fun. But I almost feel like, again, not putting it on a negative, I think it's great that a lot of guys these days get the opportunity right off the bat to work in front of that many people. But I feel like it's sort of a lost art that they almost don't know what to do if they got into an event where there's 40 people, where I feel like sometimes learning the reverse is a better way to learn. So maybe that has something to do with the mentality of the guys in wrestling now. I don't know, but to me, I've always found the traveling part the most fun.
I agree with you on so many levels. I think that one of the factors, as we both have said now several times, you know, I think it's safe to say that we were a different era of indie wrestling. I think we're at that point where we can say that we were a different era. I think that part of it is the fact that the guys breaking into the business today aren't being trained by the same generation or the same era that trained us. Therefore, those lessons and those processes and so forth aren't being taught. The guys are clueless. Like, there are guys in the business today that are clueless on stuff that used to be normal as far as these long road trips. I mean, when I was referencing 8 hours between towns earlier, that was an every week, every night type of thing. It, you know, for a year, that was the norm. That was part of, that was when the territory system was in place. And if you were working, you know, the Memphis territory, you would be doing 8 hour drives, 6 hour drives between towns, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever. It doesn't happen anymore. Everyone is so used to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if they're lucky. And everybody is used to, you know, everything just kind of being there. Nobody understands, not nobody, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. The guys and the girls breaking into the business today are being trained by a different generation that has different experiences, different knowledge. You know, when it comes to things like you were saying, the geographical area, I tell people all the time, there is a reason that I am trying to travel all over the country, if not the world. One, because that's what part of my childhood dream was. When I was an 8-year-old kid in 1988, everyone can do the math. When I was that 8-year-old girl, that was my thing. I didn't dream about wrestling in the National Guard Armory. I dreamed about wrestling at, you know, the Philly Spectrum or the Capitol Center was what it would have been, or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. And there are so many people now. I think one of the detriments to indie wrestling these days is what you were saying, where guys and girls, you know, workers in general, they stay in a bubble. And I've used the term bubble with people in conversations in cars and so forth. They stay in a bubble because, number one, it's comfortable. They know all the workers in the locker room. They know the building. They know the promoter. They know the crowd. But more importantly, the crowd knows them. The thing about these bubbles, and just like I've used the same expression you used, it's a big fish in a little pond. Guys get so used to working in front of the same crowd, or the majority of the same crowd, the same fans, the same towns, where, okay, I'm babyface. All I have to do is come through the curtain and the entire crowd's going to pop, because for the past 2 years, every Wednesday night, I've been a babyface and I've come through the curtain and the crowd has popped. They've been trained to do, they know what to do.
Right.
And the flip side, if I'm a heel, I've been working the same building on every Wednesday night. I'm going to come through the curtain. They're going to boo me because they know I'm the heel and that's what they are to do.
Right.
The crowd is trained. Therefore, the worker is, whether they realize it or not, they're complacent and they're not putting the same effort into it. It's the exact reason that I am trying and I want to work in as many different areas in the States, Canada, send me wherever. I want to plop myself in front of a brand new crowd who has never seen me live before. Maybe one or two of them if I'm lucky. Maybe somebody knows who I am. Maybe they've watched me online. Maybe they're familiar with my work. But if I can plop myself in front of an entire crowd who's seeing me for the first time and I can get the same reaction out of them that I get out of the people I work in front of every 3 months in Virginia or North Carolina or something, then I know I'm doing something right. Then I have tested myself. Then I'm challenging myself. And people are afraid to do that because, one, it's comfortable. You know, it's a really good feeling to know, hey, guys, I can just come out of the curtain, tilt my sunglasses down to the end of my nose, look at you, and you're going to boo or you're going to cheer.
Right.
That's all I have to do. You know, I don't want that. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want this crowd to react because they're trained to react. I want them to react because I make them react. So, I do want to plop myself in front of as many different crowds as I can. I don't want to be in a bubble. And there are some people in the business, honestly, who don't get that. When I say to people, you know, they're like, Casey, you know, work this promotion. And it's a promotion I've been working for years. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, it's not that I don't want to work there. It's not that I think I'm better than that promotion or than the workers who work there. I'm not a snob. This isn't me being snobby saying I don't want to work there again for the 100th time. It's not coming from an egotistical place. It's the exact opposite. I don't want to stay right here, guys. Like, sorry, I don't want to work just for the promotions in this particular area. I'm trying to go plop myself in, you know, some random town in Utah. You know what I mean? Whatever. And see if I can get over there to challenge myself. And that's what, you know, a very small handful of workers get that. But a lot of them don't, because they're like, if you don't want to continue working in the same area, it's like, oh, look who's too good for this. Look who's right. Too good for ABC Pro Wrestling. Then you don't get it, because you should be wanting to break out too. And I know I've been talking, like, that's just, it's such a pet peeve of mine. People who are so comfortable being the big fish in the little pond. It's like, dude, if you're that good of a worker, then spread yourself out. Now, some people can't. Look, there are some people who have families, who have other commitments that prevent them from traveling and so forth. And I get that. I don't hate on them. I'm one of the most non-judgmental people you will ever meet in your life. Me personally, I have absolutely nothing holding me back. I don't have a family. I don't have a spouse. I don't have a significant other. I don't have kids. You know, wrestling is my thing. So I'm going to spread myself around the country, if not the world, if I can, because, one, I'm not going to be able to do this forever, truthfully, and two, I want to see how good I really am. Like, let me test myself by throwing myself in front of this crowd who has no clue who I am. And if I get over with them, then I can go to bed thinking, maybe I am kind of sort of okay at this.
I agree. So speaking of...
And now I'm stepping off of my soapbox.
There you go. No, so kind of segueing. So, you know, obviously, you know, saying, you know, obviously of how good you are, which I think you are... incredible in the ring.
Thank you.
From the way you control a crowd, who are the, for anyone that I guess has never seen your work before, who would you consider yourself a combination of, or what style of a performer are you?
I will tell you, I get off on being compared to Sherry Martel. I get off on being compared to Moolah, to Luna. You know, I started watching wrestling in 1988. And I'm not somebody, you know, I don't focus, like, it wasn't a situation where, you know, it was specifically women who I watched. I was a pro wrestling fan. And 1988 was right at the cusp of when, again, what was then the WWF, they were phasing out their women's division. You know, Sherry Martel was their champion, but they were phasing it out. And, you know, I didn't have that strong woman's presence. Now, I watched, let me say, I watched every single VHS tape that my parents would buy from the video store. I watched every tape that Blockbuster Video had that I could rent. Like, I studied, so I exposed myself to women's wrestling. But in real time at that time, it was starting to take a back seat. Like we said earlier, it was a dip in the roller coaster rather than a peak. So when I'm compared to Sherry Martel or to Luna, believe it or not, I've always been attracted to heels. It's kind of, I think it's in line with my true personality, even though people think I'm so nice. You know, I'm a smartass, and I'm a wiseacre and stuff. So I've always fashioned myself just from those true, gritty, nasty, you know, I don't give a shit if you like me or not. Like, I don't care if you think I'm hot as a woman or not. Like, the women that were just there to just get the win and get the job done. And that's my style. I grew up on 80s wrestling, whether it be men or women. Grew up on the 80s, and if somebody asks me to describe my style, I tell them I'm an old school brawler style. I was recently told by somebody that I have the highest opinion possible for that I am old school with a modern flair, which I was like, explain what you mean by that. And once I heard the explanation, I could understand it and I could see it. So, you know, that's how I would describe myself. You've never seen me do a 450, and guess what? You never will. You know, you've never seen me do a moonsault. You probably never will. I'm not somebody who is out there to be flashy or fancy or try to get an ooh or an ah. I'm somebody who's out there to, you know, suspend the disbelief and to be the heel. I don't care if I'm cool. You know, I don't care about, which takes my mind to a whole other topic about social media, but that's my style. I'm very much like, I'm in your face, I'm loud, I'm brash, I'm obnoxious, but guess what? I can back it up and get the job done because I'm very physical. I'm very, you know, I hit hard, I can take punishment, but I can dish it out, and it's just my style. So when I'm compared to Sherry or Luna or Moolah, or a Judy Martin or a Leilani Cott, I'm like, oh, thank you. Best compliment ever. I love it.
No, that's exactly how I see your style. I've seen you very in your face, very smash mouth, and it's just there's no flash with you. It's all business.
No.
And I think
try to work the crowd. Like, yeah I mean, people. Men and women, I don't care if you're an innie or an outie. Dude, people forget to work the crowd. They just do. People,
I've always believed that part of wrestling is, as great as you might be concentrating on what's going on with your opponent, as a performer, if the crowd can't connect with you, no one is going to react.
There's a reason why when you go to watch, I just got sad because I just realized it's not even operational anymore. But I was going to say, when you go to watch the Barton and Bailey Circus again,
right.
You know, when you go to something like that, okay, here's the trapeze act. Oh, they're swinging. Oh, look how, flippy, 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 yay. What the heck happens? They hit the floor. Do they not turn to the audience and ta-da! To the audience,
yep.
To engage the audience, to make the audience feel, yay! It's the same thing, but it's on a different level and it's turned all the way up. Instead of doing it at the end, you should be doing it throughout the entire performance. And that's,
right.
Everybody is so focused on, I'm going to get this spot in so I can have a gift made of me, or a GIF, or however the F you say it. You know, I want to be a clip. I want to be a clip online. I want to be known for this spot. I want to get the "that was awesome" chant. People forget to actually, like, dude, I was at a show in Maryland 2 weeks ago, and there was a little boy in the crowd who was probably 9 years old or so. He would not stop yelling at me. He was booing me. He was telling me how much I sucked the entire damn match, and I loved it. He couldn't care less about what I was doing. He knew that I pissed him off when I came out. And therefore, instead of wanting to go to the bathroom or go get popcorn or check his dad's cell phone or something during my match, that little kid was standing up screaming at me the whole match.
Amazing.
And I got off on it. I'm like, yep, thank you. That's what I want you to do. You didn't pay your money to sit in the crowd to update your Twitter. In my opinion, I get it. The business is different. I don't want you updating your Twitter or watching my match through your phone so you can get clips. I want you to, like, stop and watch and be engaged and just, you know, in that disbelief and just be involved for a minute as a freaking wrestling fan. That's what I want. And when I get that, I love it.
Yeah, I think the fun part is when you can come out in front of any crowd and automatically command their attention. I think that is the true art of what we do, because I think if you can command the attention of that crowd right from the very get-go, less is more. You don't have to do a lot in the ring in order to get the rest of the crowd to get into wanting to see that either the other person either kill you or wanting to see you, you know, beat the holy hell out of that other individual. It doesn't take that much. And I think that's the thing that's still that is, I think the character and the personality piece of doing that is, I don't know if it's necessarily something you can really teach these days. I know there's varying degrees of opinions. I think you either have it in you or you don't, because you can't teach personality. You can't teach charisma. I think if you don't have it, there may be elements that you can find within the style that you work to engage the crowd. But I think if you already have that gift of gab, then it's a plus for you, because it's a less that you truly have to do in the ring to tell the story that you're telling. I was going to say that that's what I see when I watch your work, is that less is more. You have this innate ability to get under people's skin, whether it's the look that you shoot them or how you say certain things. but that's, to me, that is the art of a professional, I think, in what we do. And, you know, it makes the other person's job in there that much easier, because all they have to do is react to you at that point.
Mm-hmm. Be Ricky Morton, dude. Be Ricky Morton.
If I could be one tenth of Ricky Morton, I'd have it made.
Dude. you know, but along the lines of people suspending disbelief and so forth, like, not to digress, but it goes with what we were talking about earlier. I think a big part of the lack of that we see goes back to social media, because I've said this on other broadcasts and so forth. I have such a feeling of, I feel conflicted when it comes to social media, because I think everybody knows I'm heel. Like, I am the heel. That's just me. On social media, not so heelish, you know what I mean? Like, I interact with people, I say thank you, I post a smiley face. And the reason I bring that up is because I think part of the reason that it's harder to have fans suspend that disbelief and really engage with us is because on Facebook the day before the show, the person in the ring sent a message to the fan who they've become buddies with from interacting on social media and said, "Hey, bro, will you tape my match you know, like, will you do this, that, or the other? And so the fan now feels like they are friends with the wrestler. They're like, oh, he's a heel. That means he's the bad guy. But they know that they're going to be standing out there after the show, shooting the, you know, talking to them. They might join them for dinner afterwards. Like, it's different. And I think that's part of it, where the fans are so, dude, and again, like, I know I keep repeating myself, but I have said this to people in private conversation. I'll say it now. Can you imagine when I was that 8-year-old girl in 1988? Could you imagine if I had the ability to write Sherri Martel a message and not only have her read it, but respond? That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nowadays, we are so accessible. That barrier has been killed because fans have instant, immediate access to us, and everybody is so concerned with their merchandise sales or with having the streamers at the show so they can get thrown on them at the introductions, or whatever, you know, wanting to retweet or whatever the case might be, that when a fan messages a worker, hey, what's up? I'm not saying everybody does it, and that's why I called myself on it before I even went into this tirade, because it's weird. I'm a heel through and through. Believe me, I am. I don't like people. I'm not a social person. I'm a smartass. I am sarcastic. But when somebody comments on my photo, raised to have manners, and I say thank you, and I put the smiley face, and that's not very heelish. So they're getting the mixed, you know, the mixed me, where I'm polite on social media. I say thank you. I put a smiley face. I appreciate compliments, and I truly do. When I say I appreciate it, I'm humbled, I'm flattered. That's not bullshit. It's true. I am. Because there's plenty of girls that people could follow or could watch or could be fans of. None of that is a work. But I am a heel, and I work as a heel. So there's this fine line today between everyone talks about, there was recent conversation about there's no true heel anymore. And I'm like, dude, I'm a true heel, but then at the same time, am I really? Because, you know, and it's hard. We are in a position nowadays in 2018 where, you know, we kind of do want to sell that T-shirt off of ProWrestlingTees.com, and we do kind of want to move the 8x10s at intermission, but at the same time, I'm a heel. Do I really want to be out there talking to you during intermission? This line has been so blurred.
Yeah.
And going back to the original point, I think that's part of what goes into crowd interaction, crowd reaction. You know, it's really hard to get people to truly boo you when they're kind of recording your match for you with one hand with their cell phone. And you know what I mean? It's completely different. They have such access to us that line of we are superhuman and we're not normal people has been so blurred that it's hard to make people suspend the disbelief anymore because we've taken that away from them. But we didn't have to, but it kind of sucks. And it's just a mess.
Yeah, it's the nature of
my old school talking, you know. I feel conflicted every day.
Yeah,
because of stuff like that, you know what I mean? As a heel, I don't want to respond. I don't want to say thank you. But then the moment that you don't,
yeah, I think it's just the evolution of where we've come as a society, and again, like you said, it's just the evolution of social media.
Exactly.
But yeah, but you know, it's funny you touch on
it really is.
Yeah, and you touch on the elements of, you know, you say being polite and raised, you know, respectfully, because you don't see a lot of it on your social media, but you know what. Who is Casey, you know, outside of the ring? I know you mentioned that, you know, you feel uncomfortable when you're not booked on an event or whatever. You may have a free Saturday or a free Friday, but who is Casey outside of the ring?
Casey is the same Casey everybody sees. I mean, honestly, I'm a loner. I'm a loner. I am sarcastic. I'm a wise ass. I am very particular. I can be difficult. Again, because wrestling is so open, I think everybody, whether you're in the business or out, has heard the expression that you are your best in the ring when you're being your true self and the volume is turned all the way up. That is so true of me. I have the only thing that comes before wrestling in my life is my family and the person that I love. That's it. That's it. I have no, it's not like, I'm not some cuddly mom of three who just puts on whatever and, I have to go back to the PTA meeting. No, it's like, dude, trust me. When I'm giving you crap coming out to the mat, I'm actually telling you what I think. Yeah. Like, you think I'm in character, but I'm really not. I'm a smart ass and I'm a wise ass and I am that heel in life. Believe me, I have a soft side. Yes, for certain people in certain situations, I have a soft side. I think everybody does. Even the Grinch carved the freaking turkey or whatever. But believe me, I'm very much me. And that's why I do. And I think there's a possibility that in the future going forward, I think I'm just getting to the point where I'm starting to kind of be like, really, I don't need a wrestling fan writing me on Facebook. And then when I don't get to read the message for, when it's 12 hours later and I still haven't read the message because, I have a life and I'm busy and I get another message from the fan. Oh, I see you're active. Can't read my message, huh? Think you see this? Dude, I'm not required to reply to you. I'm not required to read your message, much less reply to your ass, because it has no bearing on my life. Everyone is so entitled today. And that bothers the hell out of me. Nobody... I'm going off on a tangent again, but that is me. It's like, look, if I reply to your comment, if I reply to your message, if I acknowledge you, it's not because I'm a soft, cuddly teddy bear of a Casey. It's because I'm trying to kind of be polite. At the same time, you need to respect the fact that I don't have to read your message. I don't have to reply to you. I don't have to like your comment. Stop doing stuff trying to feel validated, trying to feel important. If you get a response or something, just sleep well at night knowing that you got a response. That's me. That is me. So that's why I say I'm also conflicted, because it's like, I don't want to disrespect anybody. I feel like, if somebody takes time out of their life to comment on my photo, to send me a message, the least I can do is take time out of my life to reply to them. But on the flip side of that is it sometimes becomes you give somebody an inch, they take a mile. Then it's like, they want to have a conversation with you all day, every day, and they get offended if you don't. And it's like, you have to have, never mind. I could go off forever because it's one of my very biggest pet peeves, but I think you get what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. So, absolutely, no. And I appreciate the responses. It's a lot of insight that I think a lot of people could definitely help a lot of different realms. But I think you're a little close here. If you were to pick who are your top five that you consistently study to make yourself better, who would they be? Whether it's in wrestling or entertainment, who would be your top five?
Oh no. I hate questions like that. I'm so bad at coming up with names on the spot, dude. I really am. Like, I'm losing memory every day. You laugh. It's true. I lose a little bit of memory every day. My top five that I study. I feel like I've already talked about, you know, I'm all about Sherry. I'm all about Luna. On the men's side, I will say growing up, I have come to realize over the years as I've gotten older, that I've always been a heel, because looking back now at who I paid attention to as a kid, they were all heels. Sherry Martel, boom. Luna Vachon, heck yes. Even, you know, the Golden Girls, Leilani Kai and Judy Martin. I'm like, oh, these are nasty bitches. They don't care. I liked it. Ted DiBiase, I thought he, you know, I think he's one of the workers who has always been regarded as, he never actually reached the top, but he was always one of the main supporting players and one of the reasons why the top guys. I always admired his work. I always wanted to see him wrestle. Rick Rude, another heel, but there was something about his style when I was that kid that I would always watch his match on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels, because his charisma was incredible. Whether you liked, you know, his personality or not, you still paid attention because of his charisma. You know, I find myself pulling based on what I'm looking for. I'll even, like, this might shock some people, but I'll even share this story. I don't think I've ever said this out loud, actually, to anybody.
I got a scoop.
There was a point in time. You're exclusive. Bloop, bloop, bloop. You know, there was a point in time when Sid Vicious, it would have been 1992, 3-ish, when he was Psycho Sid. He was with them. And it was no longer Sid Vicious. It was, you know, Psycho Sid. And they had, like, the Psycho music for him. Meow, 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 meow. And he always had those crazy eyes and stuff. Well, at the time, I was dealing with a certain level of being bullied in school by a contingent of popular girls. Because I was never the popular, you know, everyone wanted to be my friend. I was never that girl. And so I was dealing with a level, you know, back in that period of time, what would have been considered bullying. And I found myself, I'm laughing because I truly have never said this out loud to anybody. Like, you know, that was, I'd be watching Superstars, I'd be watching Challenge, and Sid would come out, and it was a combination of the music and, like, his freaky, freaking, like, empty psycho eyes that he did so well, where he conveyed that feeling of, I'm crazy, I don't care about you, I don't care about you. I don't care about you. I'm just focused on destroying Hogan type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would find myself pulling from that every now and then, like when I would go to school and here are these snotty-ass, bitchy poppy, I don't care about you. I don't care about you. And I would just walk past them, you know. So it's, and to me that goes back to the whole suspension of disbelief. Here I am, a kid, believing that Sid was really kind of loopy out there like that, and thinking of it, you know what I mean? Like, it just, it's kind of that thing. But to go back to your original question, Sherry, Luna, Leilani, Judy Martin, Medusa, you know, Molly Holly, Miss Matt, whatever you want to call her, you know, I was always attracted to, even, you know, like, back in the day, there was, you know, like, you would see Velvet McIntyre, or you would see, you know, Donna Cristinello, or it was like, mm-hmm. I wanted to be, there was a period of time when Elizabeth, I was like, I'm going to be the next Miss Elizabeth, because I think that's what a lot of girls felt at that time. But overall, not to repeat it for the 500th time, but, you know, Sherry and Luna, like, they were what I focused on, and that's who I drew inspiration from and kind of related to, because I felt like they were most like me.
Love it. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
It all comes from, I think a lot
there
of...
There it is.
Yeah. I think a lot of that, that says, like, I think for me, after all of these years, I find a lot of the guys that I grew up idolizing really shining through now more than I did in the beginning, because I think in the beginning, you're always trying to find who you are, and you always have to try different things. But I feel now mm-hmm. is like when I work with the newer guys, and, you know, when they ask, hey, what's your character? What are you? And I just tell people all the time, I am Arn Anderson, Terry Funk, and John Tatum, and Chris Candido rolled into one. That's it. And
nice.
But it's taken me all this time to really put that together, where for all the years, I did take elements of Rick Rude, and I did take elements of
mm-hmm.
Ted DiBiase or a lot of those guys, because like you, I kind of was more towards the heels when I was a kid, but I find myself more than ever now really finding who I am. And when people ask me, you know, what do you work as? And I say, picture those four guys. That's who I am rolled into one. So
I
believe a lot of it comes full circle from the people that you gravitated towards as a child watching.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you know, you can tell, like, not to call myself out, not to bring attention to this, but you can tell, again, the old saying, you are at your best when it's you with the volume turned all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell, you know, I'm booked as a baby face maybe one time a year, maybe. If it's a weird year, twice. I feel, now there are, trust me, there are plenty of people who are like, oh, Casey, you don't give yourself enough credit as a baby face. You do great. You do. I'm sorry. I'm honest with myself, and I'm a realist. If you book me as a baby face, I'll come work whatever you need me to work for your show, because you're employing me for that night. It's up to you. But if you want me at my best, you're going to book me as a heel. Because me as a baby face, believe me when I tell you, that is not me. You know, I actually have to, not that I don't put, I know that you're going to understand what I mean by this, but I want it to be clear to anybody listening. You know, not that I don't put the same effort into it. I put more effort, if anything, into being a baby face because I'm so, I feel awkward at it. It's mm-hmm. not in my nature to be smiling and be happy to see people and to look for people, you know, it's not me. And when I'm booked as a baby face, I get it. You know, yeah. You know what? Honestly, when it comes to the actual wrestling and the moves, yeah, I do pretty good. I won't say that I suck. I do pretty well because I had good training and I know how to work babyface. I work heel so much that I know what I want a babyface to be. So I strive to be that for my opponent. So it's not that I do badly, but believe me when I tell you there is a humongous difference. And I think anybody who watches would say, would agree with me, and I'll readily admit it, huge difference between heel Casey and babyface Casey, because heel Casey is me. It's just who I am as a person. You put me as a babyface, I'm still putting forth the same effort, believe me, and I'm still, if not more, I'm turning it up and I'm doing everything that I know to do, but you're going to be able to see that it's just not the same. I'm just not the same. And I know I sound like I'm cutting myself down, but anybody who gets it will understand what I mean.
Yeah, it won't resonate to the crowd as authentic as it would as if you were
right.
in that other role.
Right. And that's just how I am. Dude, I can cut my eyes at somebody in a heartbeat, and they know I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is me throwing somebody one, and it can be a stranger at the gas station. You know, I was sitting at the gas station yesterday driving home, and, you know, I was sitting in my car, windows up, writing, responding to a Facebook message, and I hear, hey, girl, from the car next to me. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, you know, like, it was everything I could do to not spin and roll my window down and just cuss that dude out and flick him off. Like, who the F do you think you're talking, you know, I am that person for real. I'm not some, you know, smiley, happy go like, I don't want to kiss your you know, it's just not me.
So, there it is.
Yeah.
So as we near
there, you have it.
There it is. So that's a lesson to all guys out there. Don't catcall and whistle like Casey or get your head bit off. So where can people find you? Or all platforms, social media, or where can people get in touch with you?
Internet. I try to do my best to keep up with everything. Everyone's on Facebook. I have two Facebook pages. One of them is facebook.com/Casey Carlisle, which is my profile page. And I'll just tell everybody now, yes, apparently my friend list is full. Yes, I allow followers. I never understand the desire to be on a friend list when everything I put up is public. I don't know the difference to people. But, you know, I allow followers. So if you try to friend request me, you'll automatically be following me, and I think that means you see my posts anyway. I also have a fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/Casey Carlisle fan page. I have my website, which is kind of a central hub for those who swear off Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff, CaseyCarlisle.com. I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Instagram. Everything is under Casey Carlisle. Basically, if you Google me, you'll find me, and I'm there. And I do interact with people. Even, you know, after what we said earlier, I do interact with people and fans as much as I can because I do appreciate the fans. And if they didn't attend the shows that we were booked on, we wouldn't have bookings. So I honestly do appreciate the fans and their support. So that's where everybody can find me and keep up with me.
Awesome. Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me on A Genuine Taste of Wrestling. Please go out and make sure you see Casey Carlisle when she's at an event booked near you. Casey, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining me. We'll definitely do it again.
Thank
we have
you.
Enough here to cut this into a two-parter, so I had a lot of fun. And
that's because Casey will not stop rambling.
That's okay. I love it. So thank you so much.
It's my love for wrestling.
There it is.
Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
This has been a presentation of B+ Player Radio. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at B+ Radio. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Stitcher if you like what you heard today. And head on over to audibletrial.com/B+ Players to help support the network.